Hey, drama listeners, this is Dylan. Just checking in before you listen to our new episode this week. Yes, you read the title correctly. We have John Cardoza, who is one of the stars of the Notebook musical, now on Broadway. He is so charming and kind and funny, and you are absolutely going to love him if you don't already. You know, he was in Jagged Little Pill, he toured with Moulin Rouge, he was in The Karate Kid. There are so many amazing things. We didn't get to talk about it all, but John really wore his heart on his sleeve, and I think you're going to love this episode. And if you do, please make sure you give us a rating and a review. Maybe even sign up for our Patreon, Drama Plus, where you can get bonus episodes, get on our Instagram close friends. You know, I keep saying this, but like the spring Broadway season is in full effect, and that is where we are going to be posting our hottest takes, our funniest little memes and jokes, everything that comes our way. Connor and I have so much fun with it, and we can promise you only more fun as we go forward. Thank you to everyone who supports us. Thank you for pressing play on this episode. And thank you to John for joining us. He is a true delight, and you are going to fall in love. All right, let's get on with the show.
Press play. Curtain of an hour in. It's time to taste in.
The shade and tea
to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book?
Who got numb?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama.
Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell.
Dylan, wait, I feel like I sound nasally.
You're still ill.
To quote Emma Zacks on The Legally Blonde, Search for the Next Elle Woods, if I was on Broadway tonight, I'd be calling in my understudy.
She did say that.
I'm just kidding. But I sound so nasally. I can't kick this,
I know.
Cold that's been going around for weeks. It's giving COVID 4 years ago, which we did mention earlier. 4 years ago today, Broadway shut down, which is dark
I know.
As hell. Do you remember where you were?
Well, I remember I was in line trying to buy, because the producers of the West Side Story revival slashed tickets down like really, really cheap.
Oh,
and I was
that's
trying
right.
to buy like a $25 ticket to see Isaac Cole Powell in that show. And I was like, what, 51st or whatever? And I saw you like two blocks away by that McDonald's by Paramount Plaza. And you had just gotten out of a meeting, an ad meeting. You go, Broadway's shutting down. Don't buy the tickets. And I was like, oh my God. You're like, but don't tell anyone. Drama.
That was nuts. It was so dark.
The world changes. We know it. But listen, we're back. Broadway's back, baby. Okay. The movies are back. The Oscars happened this week. I'm curious, what was your, because we'll probably talk more about the Oscars on Patreon or something like that. But
oh, period.
What was your favorite win of the night?
Ooh, my favorite win. That's a really good question. I will say my favorite moment of the night was the I'm Just Ken performance.
Of course.
Gosling's got the riz.
Oh, yeah.
We've always known. Wait, okay, fun that he was in the Notebook movie. But
yeah. Oh, my God.
He is it. People are being rude about him online, saying he's got to dissolve his fillers. And to that, I have to say, he looks so natural. I think he's perfect.
Oh,
don't
my God.
Come for Ryan Gosling.
And he's got a voice. You know, even in like La La Land, I was kind of like, well, he's not like a singer, but I think he actually is. He's really great.
Yeah. Oh, I love him. What was your favorite win or moment from the Academy
Gosh.
Awards?
Well, I did love I'm Just Ken. I really loved like the whole section where they had all the previous Best Supporting Actress winners come up and
Oh,
speak
yeah.
to the nominees, and then Davine Joy Randolph's win, which I've loved her all season long. I love the holdovers, and I thought she was just fantastic. But anytime you bring back, you know, past winners, the way that we revere these talents, I posted this on Drama's Twitter, but they should do that for the Tonys. I think that would be sick.
Oh, that would be so fun. I love that idea.
Who else is obsessed with themselves more than the Broadway community and Tony winners? You know, come on. We're a self-aggrandizing community.
Wait, I'm obsessed with this idea.
Yeah.
Because normally they bring back the previous year's winner to announce at least the acting category, right? Or the musical acting category.
It changes, but listen, I know that the theater wing absolutely listens to drama, so they all need to get on it. Anyways, Connor, we have a really exciting guest today. You mentioned The Notebook briefly.
I know. And I got to go see it this week. It was a huge weekend. Ariana's new album, the Oscars. I got to see The Notebook.
Yes.
And oh my God, Dylan, I cannot wait for you to see it.
I know.
This is a huge week for them too, because don't they open?
I think so. Yeah.
We're getting a confirmation nod.
Our guest today is the star of The Notebook on Broadway, portraying younger Noah, a role he originated in the world's premiere production in Chicago. Audiences across the nation will know him from Moulin Rouge on tour, where he truly left it all on stage as Christian. He made his Broadway debut in Jagged Little Pill, which he also appeared in at the American Repertory Theater and can be heard on the cast album. He has lent his talents to many regional productions as well, such as leading the Karate Kid musical, October Sky at the Old Globe in San Diego, and playing Gabe in Next to Normal, for which he received a Connecticut Critics Circle Award nomination. He has appeared in countless concerts around the Big Apple and even has his own solo show called Come Out and Play. You can hear more of his gorgeous voice and musical talents on his Instagram and YouTube. And if you don't know him yet, you will. Please welcome to drama, John Cardoza.
Hi. Oh my gosh, what an intro. I don't know if I can live up to that.
Oh my goodness. You will. You already have. We're having so much fun with you already before we hit record, that is. How are you, John? Are you well?
I am well. How are you?
Good, oh, except good. Randomly having sinuses, but otherwise I'm great.
Oh my gosh. No, I totally understand. Maybe like it was our first weekend of previews. I got hit with the sinus bug and I was out for two shows, which was heartbreaking that early in the run. I was so excited. And then it took me down. I could not even breathe through my schnoz. It was bad.
It's out of your system now, yeah. Though. So you're all good.
And they have you singing high.
Yes, she keeps us, Ms. Michelson keeps us employed above the staff.
Oh, that's so
funny. Oh my God.
It's a beautiful score. I love singing it. I like the challenge.
I'm so eager to hear it. I like to keep everything a surprise before I see it. So when I come in about a month, I'm definitely going to check it out. But before we talk about the Notebook and everything, did you get the chance to watch the Oscars?
I wasn't able to watch it because we were performing at the same time.
What a show.
But,
okay.
But I did come home and I caught, like, I watched the major moments, highlights, wins, etc. So I saw quite a bit of it.
Good. Did you have a favorite movie this season or do you follow that kind of stuff? Or
I do follow that kind of stuff. I really, really, really love Poor Things. Poor Things was my favorite of the season. But I mean, I enjoyed so many of them. I thought that Maestro was really gorgeous. Carey Mulligan was just like, oh, unbelievable. Killers of the Flower Moon, I have started. I actually just started it yesterday and I am midway through. She's lengthy, but I mean, Lily Gladstone is...
I know.
Unbelievable in it. That category was so stacked, and I think it could have been anybody's, and I'm happy for Emma. And also thought that, you know, Lily and Carrie and Annette, oh my gosh, incredible performance. What a category.
I know.
Seriously.
Agree. It's so hard to like feel mad, you know, if someone that you really love doesn't win or whatever. But for especially in this whole Lily situation, like I just really hope that she's up there again at some point. And I
yes.
think she will be. She's
oh my
incredible.
God. I mean, after that performance, I'm like, put her in everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wait, did you see Anatomy of a Fall?
No, I did not see Anatomy of a Fall.
John, it's so good.
I know. I still have a couple of, and you know what? Even though the season is technically over, I will still go back and complete the roster.
Good. Yeah. You're completionista. Yeah. I love it.
Now, did you watch I'm Just Ken?
I did see I'm Just Ken, and I was so impressed and a little threatened. I was like, are you coming for my gig? I don't know. But I was so impressed. And you know what? I was watching it with my friend Courtney Reed, who I toured with. And she was the one who reminded me. She was like, well, he did Mickey Mouse Clubhouse like years ago. Like he is a performer. Like he sings, he dances. This is not all that much of a stretch for him. And I was like, oh my God, you're right. Like he can sing. He can really sing. I was so impressed.
Yeah. I hope he comes and sees you in the Notebook. Then he'll think, oh, he's coming for my gig.
And I hope that I have no idea that he's there.
Yes. Do you prefer that to never know if there's someone like gaggy in the audience?
You know, I prefer not to know. It's not the worst thing in the world if I do know. Like, I don't think it'll be that detrimental to the performance. But I just, any time that somebody comes to me and is like, oh, there's somebody special out there somewhere in my body, it makes me feel like I'm expected to do something different than I would on any, or like something more extraordinary than I do on any ordinary day. So, yeah, I prefer not to know, but I usually know.
Yeah.
Someone slips up.
Yeah. You guys are about to open. How has it been previewing the show on Broadway?
Oh my gosh. It's been amazing. I don't know if I've ever, I've been proud of every piece that I've done. I love what I do so much that like anytime that I get to do it is an honor, but there is something about this show that for me, from the moment I heard the material, I was like, this is so special. And the fact that I get to be a part of it in this way is like so beyond anything that I could have imagined, that like finally getting to like invite audiences in on this secret. Cause even in Chicago, like that was also amazing. Like, that was really the first time that it was like there was this sense of like, ah, my gosh, I hope that people see what we see in it. And you know, it became like the Chicago like best kept secret, because there's it reaches enough folks to like get a little bit of word around, but in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't reach that many people. So now that we have this platform, I'm like, I'm just so excited for people to experience it for the first time. And I hope that they appreciate it the way that I did when I first found the material. And you know, some people are and some people aren't, but just the fact that we get to invite people through those doors is like, it's really emotional. It's so cool. And to care so much about, you know, we've gotten so close with the team, and for Ingrid and Becca to sort of like release this into the world and watch them, the experience of them releasing it into the world has also been really beautiful. And I'm just so proud to be there. Oh my God, I'm so proud to be there.
Well, congrats. Before any reviews or anything comes out, I'm hearing just amazing things, and I'm really excited for you. Connor and I have been a fan for a while, and I think it's really amazing that you're back on Broadway in this like leading capacity.
Younger Noah gets material too. I was kind of
Does.
surprised. You know, the idea of three actors playing the same role has become popular, or maybe it always has been, but like you've got the Donna Summer, you've got Fun Home, you've got I know I'm for
Share.
Cher even. And now we have I'm sure I'm forgetting something too, but you know, you always think the younger one, maybe that story will be kind of told and you move on. But the way this was written is so beautiful because it's so layered in terms of just like the way it's being remembered, the way memory really plays into all of it in general, and her memory. And it really also kept the stakes super high throughout, with the story not always being totally finished right away for each iteration. I think it was done so well.
I agree. I mean, when I read it on paper for the first time, I think I had a lot of the same questions that everybody has, where it's like, how do these things interact and flow? And then as we put it on its feet and it sort of came together, I was like, oh my gosh, I just thought it was so creative and so brilliant, because the way that you move through your life in the present is always, you know, it's a result of your lived experience. And so for that to watch you literally, that stays with them in a very real sense, in a very visceral sense. It's like, you know, again, it's a device that only theater can use, and it's something that makes our show stand on its own apart from the novel and the film as their own interpretations of the material. So I think that they could not have done a better job adapting this piece. It's really gorgeously done.
Yeah, no, for sure. And you're so great in it, John. I mean, I'm
Thank you.
serious. I was blown away. It's giving leading man.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I love that song that you sing. It's in Act One, towards the beginning. I mean, maybe it's like your solo number.
So it starts with Carry You Home, and then we move into, there's like a little songlet that's like Blue Shutters, where he's sort of dreaming up the house with Allie,
Oh, yeah, I
which moves
love.
into Sadness and Joy, which is when she hands him the painting.
That's it. That's the
Yeah, yeah,
one.
yeah, yeah.
Oh, loved.
Yeah, it's really, it's that was the first song that I heard from the show. It was some of the audition material back in 2020 when I first
Wow.
auditioned for the show. And I heard that song, and I heard Kiss Me, which is the scene in the ghost house at the end of Act One. And I
Yeah.
was like, this is so special. I have never heard this kind of like syntax. It's Ingrid has such a way with words, where she chooses things that are so specific and so human, and she's not afraid of like the sort of like less glamorous aspects of life. Like, yes, it is a very romantic score, but in a very grounded way. I remember at one point, she's written a lot of songs for the show that you don't see. And one of the songs that she sent to our cast, because she was like, just so you know, like, this is where I think that they are heading relationship-wise, and if that's helpful for you to hear, I just want to share this song with you. And it's not in the show. It's them like middle age, like 50s, raising kids. And one of the lines that she uses, she's like, she talks about the kids running into the bed and like sharing the bed with their parents, and they're all kind of like bundled in. She says, "I love this sweaty little family." And I was like, I love that line, because it's so specific. The use of the word sweaty, I'm like, but then you picture like they're all in this one bed, and the kids, you know, they get so sweaty, and like the hair is sticking to their face. And like, it's such a moment that I think every parent has had at some point, where it's like so specific, and in its specificity becomes broad and accessible to everyone. And there are so many moments like that peppered throughout the show, that when I heard these songs for the first time, I was like, wow, this is very, very special and very personal. And you can feel the heartbeat in it. It's, oh my God, it's so good. And Sadness and Joy, it's just, I feel like the thesis for Noah's whole character. It's amazing.
Oh,
What is it like working with Ryan, who we actually got to have on the show a couple months ago and absolutely love him? And then Dorian, who, you know, you're three very different actors who then sort of weave together this seamless, from what I hear, very seamless character arc. What is it like working with them?
Oh my gosh. I mean, they're both incredible. Ryan and I share a dressing room, so we spend a lot of time together. He keeps me laughing. And in terms of like how we work together, I think I had a lot of the same questions that everybody had when we first went into it. And I was like, how are we gonna make this work? And it started with sort of developing a sort of like body language kind of like familiarity to create a sense of a through line for this character, so that there's always something grounding. There's some sort of movement or demeanor that is grounding for this character that can be seen in each of the three. But of course, the three of us have very different lived experiences, and so that is going to inform these characters in three very different ways. But in the same way that I am not the same person that I was 10 years ago, it makes sense for Noah to not be the same person that he was 10 years ago. So those differences, I think, enhance the arc and the growth. But at its core, you know, I've said this before, and I feel like it's becoming like one of my sound bites, but I really think it's like it's the best way for me to explain the experience of creating one character amongst three people, is that it feels like when you have, it's sort of like when you have like a cold object, you put your hand on that object, and if you leave it there long enough, eventually your hand reaches the temperature of that object. It kind of feels like we all have our hands on the same object, and we're all reaching that similar temperature, that same demeanor. You spend enough time with them that you sort of you start to catch on to the isms. You see the you start to see the through line. And so the fact that we have Dorian on stage with us to sort of set the he's incredible, and he is the best role model to have on that stage for just like his presence, his focus on Marianne and on his goals throughout the course of the show. Like, he sets the perfect example for us to follow, and I think the effects of his performance are just trickle down for us.
Oh, that's so cool. I can imagine it's probably creatively fulfilling too to have that challenge.
It's one of those shows, and you know, you don't always get this, and so I feel really grateful that I'm in it now. It's one of those shows that I could do forever, and I don't think I would ever be tired of it, because there's always something new to be found in there. Because at its core, the show is about life. It's, Marianne once said, it's the essence of everything, and I couldn't agree with her more, where it's like these are two very normal people living very normal lives. There is nothing extraordinary about it. The only reason that it is extraordinary in any way is because they have decided that it is. They have decided that making music on the dock, swimming in the river, writing poetry together, dreaming up houses, they've decided that that is an extraordinary experience for them, which reminds us in the house that like any life can be extraordinary if you decide to experience it that way. And I think that's what makes it so beloved. It's like, this is a very accessible love story. It's very tangible.
Very beautifully
Yeah.
said, John.
Thank you so
I mean,
much.
of course, the notebook is iconic for us. I mean, growing up, like everyone was obsessed with it. It was like the go-to, I'm gonna cry my eyes out movie. So going into the musical, I was like, I have a feeling I'm gonna be moved, but I sobbed my eyes out. Watch. I mean, do you hear the sniffles and the crying, especially in the
Oh
last
my
like
gosh.
15 minutes of the show? Like, oh my God, it's so genuinely sincere. And I think that's why it's really affecting on stage too. It just hits the heart, pulls on the heartstrings, I guess, you know?
I think that there's something really different and visceral about seeing it right in front of you. Real bodies doing, like, having these moments right in front of you. And like, you hear the rain, you feel the rain, you can see, like, if you're sitting close enough, you really can't feel the rain. It's like, it's the mist. It's like, it's a very sensory experience, I think. And to share that with an entire room full of people, it's like, it's almost like a domino effect of like, once you feel it affecting the person next to you, it starts to just, it's again, it's the syntax, it's the reality of how close you are to these people. It's so much of it is, it's like sensory overload to a point where you just grow to care so much for them. And yeah, it's I don't think I've ever felt anything like it in a theater. And there's this moment towards the end where people tend to really leap to their feet, which was a surprise for us. You never know how your show is going to be received, but we feel just as drawn to them, I think, as they do to us, because you've been kind of just like, both on stage and in the house, everybody's gone on this ride together, and we're all just out there celebrating life. And I think that is something that just, it's like a magnetic feeling of just like yeah, we did this together. We're thanking them for being here. They're thanking us for being here. And it just creates this really magical moment that I've never felt anywhere else.
Aww, I'm so eager to see it. Wait, do you have your outfit picked out for opening night?
I do. We were just getting tailored the other day.
Yes.
I'm very excited. I'm both excited and terrified. I know it's going to be a lot of energy. Yeah, I get very overstimulated very quickly. So I'm just trying to quell my anxieties and just, but I'm very excited. I love any excuse to sort of like dress up and celebrate. But yeah, I'm very excited. It's a double-breasted Ralph Lauren suit that I've never worn anything like it before. I'm very excited.
Oh, I cannot wait to see the pics. Has your family gotten to see it yet?
They have. My sister and my sister-in-law and my dad all saw it in Chicago. And my dad just saw it here a couple weeks ago. Unfortunately, he was here the weekend that my sinuses took me down. So he only got to see it once. He was going to see it twice that weekend, but I had to be out of the show the following night. But it also gave us an opportunity to, you know, be home and spend some real time together, which is also nice. But yes, they have seen it.
And all positive reviews.
Oh, they love it so much. They love it. I mean, my sister was like my introduction to The Notebook when I was younger because, you know, I was probably in like, I don't know if I was in fifth or sixth grade when it came out, but I was definitely in like fifth or sixth grade when I was exposed to it. It was like one of the first DVDs that came into our house back when DVDs were new. And yeah, she loved the movie growing up. So that was where I was introduced.
Yeah, a little family connection too. Well, speaking of family and just growing up and things like that, we do kind of like to go back to maybe humble beginnings and talk about the moment that got our guests into the arts in the first place. We call it the Ring of Keys moment. Have you ever seen Fun Home? Are you familiar with Fun Home?
Yeah.
Well, we kind of take that song Ring of Keys and co-opt it to be about that moment for you when you knew that you wanted to dive into the arts or musical theater or music or anything like that. Do you feel like there was a moment for you at some point?
You know, I grew up, my mom was the musical person in our family. She sang in like the church choir and she played piano growing up and she did theater in high school. And she listened to a lot of like the greats when I was younger. Like she had the Celine Dion album, you know, she loved Phantom of the Opera. She would play Phantom of the Opera, West Side Story. Yeah, she really, really loved it. And so it was always playing in the house. And so I was exposed to a lot of like really amazing vocalists at very young age. And so I would try to like imitate. But she was very adamant about us taking piano lessons. So I took piano lessons. I wanted to take voice lessons, but my family, we did okay, but we were by no means wealthy at all. And so they were like, no, you're taking piano lessons and you know how to sing. And I was like, no, I can sing. That doesn't mean that I know how to sing. So I always wanted to do that. Never really got to until I got to college, but they were very encouraging me participating in chorus and like the school shows that we were doing, which I started doing around like middle school. I grew up as a figure skater. So I sort of like found that I loved performing in front of audiences that way. And just, there's like a lot of like theatricality to that as well. And dance and movement. And so all these things kind of like came to a head when I was in middle school, high school, and a friend of a friend came to see a show that I was in. And he was going to the Boston Conservatory for music composition at the time. And he was like, you can do this if you want. Do you want to? And I was like, I didn't know that you could. I didn't grow up in an area that had a lot of access to the arts. It was really just whatever the school was putting on that year. I didn't know about the camps. I didn't know about, you know, the Jimmies. I didn't know about any of that stuff that it could even really be a career. That to me, it was something that people did as a hobby. It was community theater. It was school theater. So he took me to the conservatory on a tour. And I just remember music coming out of every window and hallway. And I went to see a voice recital and I was like, oh my God. Like I need to do this. And at that point, my 100% my focus shifted to just, this is what I want to do. And I heard the album Next to Normal for the first time, which really bit me because I was like growing up with like, you know, The Music Man and West Side Story, like these are all amazing shows in their own right and contributed. But that was the first time that I'd seen sort of like the modern musical and what it had the power to do and be. And so that took me down a whole other rabbit hole of discovering like, you know, the darker themes in theater. And that brought me to Sondheim, like other, you know, just, oh, my whole world opened up. So that, I guess that was sort of like a long-winded way of saying that maybe around like high school, that was when it really like settled for me that I was like, oh, this is something that I can pursue in a very real way. And of course, my parents were very nervous, but think after a couple of years, we're like, okay, we see it too. Okay. And they strapped in with me. But yeah.
What was the show that you were doing that someone saw you in? And
I was doing Cinderella and I was playing the prince.
Yes.
How fun.
Yes. Yeah, it was a nice cardboard pumpkin, you know, that you carry out there. The like the hobby horse mice, and you know, it was giving Broadway.
Oh hell yeah,
of course.
Now, when's the last time you figure skated?
Oh my gosh, I actually, when I first moved to New York, it was one of my first jobs was teaching skating lessons in Long Island City at the City Ice Pavilion. I still do it every now and then to kind of like just keep the skill in my body, but I'm certainly not what I used to be. So I mean, the last time I skated was probably like maybe a year ago, maybe a year and change, but I still got it. There are some moves in there.
Oh yeah. Did you follow like the Winter Olympics closely and things like that?
I had a real come to Jesus moment when I was a sophomore in college. Was the first time that the kids that I used to compete with were going to the Olympics. My first nationals, I competed with Nathan Chen, won the Olympics last, and Jason Brown was in my age bracket, and so many. I mean, there are a lot of other names. I feel like those are the two that really popped off, but there were a handful of them, and watching them on TV, you know, I was like, choice, I don't know. but here we are. Everything happens for a reason.
Here we are. That's the thing. You're about to open your Wild. Second Broadway show, and that's really cool. Wait, I love that you have Next to Normal as sort of a touchstone in your life. That's one of Connor and I's favorites.
Oh my gosh, it's amazing. And the fact, like, working with Michael on this show was like, I try not to like bring it up too much because I'm not trying to be, you know, Michael's fanboy, but there are so many times where I'm just like, you directed so many shows that just like shaped the way that I look at theater. Yeah, he's pretty remarkable.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and he also is directing 3 musicals this season. I mean, my God.
I feel like he's like, you know, I don't know if you guys are Harry Potter fans, but like, it's feeling like Hermione Granger with a time turner. I'm like, how are you doing this?
Yeah. Thankfully, they're all kind of like near each other. I mean, I guess Water for Elephants, or no, he's not. He's in
Water for Elephants? That's Jessica Stone.
He's Hell's Kitchen and Days of Wine and Roses. Okay. And Shelly too, with The Wiz coming in. I mean, she was in LA just a couple weeks ago because they were putting Wayne Brady into the show. And so it was like, oh, where's Shelly? Shelly's in LA for the opening Wiz, but she'll be back tomorrow. And you're like, how are they doing this?
Yeah. I'm actually seeing Days of Wine and Roses tonight.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
You saw it? You loved it?
I did. I saw their opening night and it was, very reminiscent of Next to Normal in its weight. And Adam Gettle, Light in the Piazza is one of my like top 3 favorite shows of all time. And so getting to see a new Adam Gettle score was like, made my little theater kid heart so happy. And the performances are incredible. Like it really is, it's such a gorgeous show. And but it's definitely, it's another one of those moments where you're about to go on a journey with that whole audience. It's dark, but it is necessary, I think. It's really, what they're doing is beautiful.
Oh, I can't wait.
You're kind of in a wide variety of different types of shows over the years. You know, Jagged Little Pill has those themes, but there's still fun elements. And then Moulin Rouge, obviously huge jukeboxy type show, but I mean, there's darkness to it as well.
Oh, yeah. 100%. It's one of my favorite things about Moulin Rouge is the humanness that I think can be lost in all of the glitz. And so because there's so many lights, sound, these songs just weaving in and out, and the costumes are amazing. And it's like, there's so much spectacle that one of my favorite challenges and one of the things that excited me the most about doing it was looking at a black and white page of text and being like, okay, where is the human being in here? And that was kind of like my mission over the course of my 6 months with the show, was to return to the earth in that sense and sort of like not be carried away so much that I've lost the way that all of that constantly being surrounded by that would affect the human experience and the human body. And I learned a lot about myself and a lot about acting through doing that show.
Yeah. We also love that one. I mean, we love Aaron so much and we've gotten to see him do it a few times.
I was excited when you were cast. I was like, oh, they're going like younger. They're going blonde. Twink twunk vibes.
It's crazy. It truly came out of nowhere. And I was sort of in the same boat where I was like, I think the reason the audition went as well as it did, and it was one of the best auditions I've ever had. It was one of the most fun auditions I've ever had. And I think it was because going into it, I was like, they are not looking at me for this. I was like, I read so much younger than Derek or Aaron or any of the folks that they've had in that track. And yeah, so when I got there, I was like, I'm just gonna sing this music that I have a really good time singing and dig as deep into these scenes as I can and just use it as like an acting exercise. And that was like the secret sauce. I don't know. I was just as shocked as I think anybody else was when it came out.
What was your favorite song to do each night?
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, I mean, the answer is going to be twofold because for me personally, I mean, doing Roxanne is unlike anything I've ever done on stage because A, I've never been able to just sort of like let a vocal fly like that. It also is just like, it's so iconic to the film. It like really feels so much for so many people that it's like you hear that song and you're like, Moulin Rouge, that is what it is. And so the fact that I got to be the vessel for that moment is like such an incredible honor. And you're in the costume, the lights, the choreography, everybody moving around you. Like it really, if you just tap into that character, and the vocals can be whatever the vocals can be. Like at that point, you've rehearsed, so you can just sort of let all that fall away. But if you really just allow yourself to go on the ride, oh my gosh, it is the wildest 4 minutes. So that is really incredible. But also, I love doing the Elephant Love Medley, which is maybe a hot take because I think a lot of people who look at the show with the critical eye are like, too much music, they're happening too fast. But when you are on stage with an incredible scene partner, and you are really using those songs as a conversation, and the roadmap becomes clear. It's such a fun puzzle to piece together and truly so fun. It's so much fun. Oh my God. Everybody in the world tagged me in that like SNL skit that happened the other day. And I'm like, I understand. Yes, it probably does look that way to so many people, but when you are in it, the conversation, the back and forth, it's like, oh my gosh, it's so much fun.
And the audience is so with you in that moment
Yeah.
too. Like they're reacting audibly and enjoying it, and they bought into it
It's
at
such a
that point.
magical moment. And like, you know, again, the choreography, the costumes, the lighting, the set, like everything in that moment is like, it's the moment that they decide that they're going to be together. And so they're really pulling out all the stops, and it's so magical. It's so magical. Swinging around on that like Eiffel Tower thing, I'm like, this is the coolest thing ever.
That is my favorite moment. It is so cool. It
Amazing.
is, yeah. Was Moulin Rouge what took you to Cleveland on tour?
That is what took me to Cleveland on
That
tour.
is
Yeah.
okay.
It was not my first time in Cleveland, but it was my first time experiencing Cleveland as like a theater city, which
Oh,
I
okay.
had no idea. And you know, looking back on it, like it's unsurprising to me in that like so many of my friends in this business are from Ohio, which I never really
Yes.
pieced together. And like Baldwin Wallace is there, and
Yeah.
Baldwin Wallace is kind of had like a renaissance in the last couple of years. Their students are
Yep.
everywhere, as they should be. They're amazing. Every person that I've worked with is not only like a lovely person, but like wildly talented.
Colton Ryan just was their
Colton
first time
Ryan,
nominee.
I know, it's like this, like I didn't realize that Ohio was such a hot spot for theater. And when I arrived and they had that Playhouse Square, I was like, there are so many theaters here. And people that I would speak to before or after the show like are so affluent and steeped in theater that I was like, oh my gosh, this is really an incredible place to be working on shows.
It was a cool place to grow up for us, and be steeped in it as well. So,
Yeah, I'm actually later on this afternoon meeting up with a friend for lunch who went to Baldwin Walls.
oh my God,
There
no
you
way.
go. Veronica Odo.
Oh my God, oh, she's amazing.
Yeah, I think she's coming up on the end of her time with Anne Juliet, but we did Jagged Little Pill together after the pandemic, and she's amazing. And she saw the show the other day, and I haven't seen her in a long time, so I'm excited to catch up.
Oh, that'll be great. Okay, so Jagged Little Pill, your Broadway debut.
Yes.
When did you first become involved with that project?
So I saw like the announcement that it was even happening, and they're like, it's going to be an Alanis Morissette musical. Diane Paulus is directing it. We don't know when it's happening, but it's coming. And I immediately texted my agents at the time, and I was like, whatever's happening with this, keep me posted. I was like, I want to get in there for this. And they weren't really sold on it at the time because it was still very early, but I was like, I really want to do this. And I auditioned for their workshop. They did a week-long workshop, and I didn't get it. And I was devastated because it was like I was fresh out of college. This was like my first year out of college. And I like put on the grungy outfit and I like picked a song that I'd never sung before, but I was like, this is going to do it. And it was so fake. It was so, like nothing about it was genuine or real. I was trying to be what they wanted to be. But the fact that I didn't get the show at that time ended up being really kismet and perfect because I ended up doing the workshop at the same time of October Sky, which I had already done at the O Globe out of town. And Rachel Rockwell was our director who passed away shortly after from cancer. And so I am looking back on it, so glad that I got to be a part of that project with her. She was amazing to work with. I loved the show. So so I still got to do that. And then a few months later, got a call from Jagged Little Pill being like, come back in, sing something else. So I was like, okay, I'm going to pick a song from like the deep archives of my childhood that I know inside and out. And I went in and I wore my hiking boots and my jeans and a shirt that I would wear on any other day. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to do the exact opposite of what I did last time. I sang Complicated by Avril Lavigne.
Nice.
And it was great. And I did the dance call in my hiking boots. And like, I just, everything that I did that time around felt very honest to who I was at that time. And then I ended up booking the out of town at ART. And that was an incredible experience. It was sort of, I don't know. It was my first experience being part of something that sort of really hit quickly because people were flocking to Boston to see that out of town. Yes. I really underestimated the power of Alanis Morissette fans.
It was that and Moulin Rouge at the same time in Boston, right? They were both.
They opened.
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of ironic.
That we were taking off. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So I never got to see them out of town because I immediately went back to New York afterwards and had, but we were there at the same time. Their cast came to see our show right before we closed. And yeah. And then we opened in New York in the same season, and that those shows really went through the process together.
Yes. Yeah. Antonio Cipriano was one of our first ever guests on the show, and we absolutely love him. And you understudied him, right?
I did. I understudied him in Jagged Little Pill, and he sat next to me in the dressing room, and he is one of my favorite people in the world. He's so chill and so fun. And he actually was playing younger Noah when I initially got the reading of The Notebook, and I was playing Finn, and we were both really excited to be playing best friends in a show. And we were like talking about it backstage, like at Jagged Little Pill. And of course, then everything shut down and we had to do it over Zoom. And so I was really surprised when I got the call to come in for Younger Noah later on. And I knew, I was like, okay, so Antonio got something, but I don't know what it is. I got the offer maybe like an hour to 2 hours after my audition for The Notebook. And he was the first person that I called. And I was like, I don't know what you're doing. I'm assuming you're doing something. And he's like, I just booked a TV show. How did you know? And I was like, because I just booked The Notebook. So I know that you're doing something amazing. And he's always been very supportive of me. And he came out to see the show in Chicago. We got to like grab lunch afterwards and talk about it. And I have so much love for Antonio Cipriano and his whole family. Yeah. They're amazing.
Yes. Was this the iteration of The Notebook that featured one Vanessa Ann Hudgens?
No, it was not Vanessa Hudgens at the time. she goes even farther back.
Okay.
I think when I first came into it, when I first came into it, it was Hannah Cornell was Middle Alley. And she was also doing really gorgeous work in the show. And I think she was another one who was busy when the time rolls around and everything works out the way that it works out. Yeah. And now she's like, I think she's writing her own show, which I'm sat for anything that pops out of her brain because talk about an artist.
Yeah. Yeah. Back to Jagged Little Pill for a second. I've got to ask. So, I mean, the show was highly anticipated, and as it was coming to Broadway, not without its sense of controversy around it a little bit in terms of the way some people were reacting to it, whether it be the themes or whether it be there's too many themes or representation, et cetera, et cetera. How did you, as a part of it, navigate that, the noise that was coming in about the show that did touch so many people, regardless of all that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it was a crash course for sure in terms of impact that Broadway shows have on the larger population. And it was really overwhelming, honestly, because I mean, first of all, anytime that you do a show that touches on hot button issues, like, you can't make everyone happy.
Yeah.
And they tried to do so much, which I think was admirable. And I think it was successful in some areas and unsuccessful in others. And that is the nature of art. Like, that, it is what it is. And I think Alanis, one of the first times that we met Alanis, she came in, she watched us run the show. It was very emotional afterwards. She was obviously very happy with where it was at. And she said, you know, as you move into this next part of sharing the show with the world, she was like, I want to share something that my father said to me when I released my first album, which is that 50% of the world already hates you. They've already decided that. Ignore them and focus on the 50% that see what you're trying to do and are willing to grow with you. And I mean, I think that is exactly what it was. It was this constant reminder that, like, even when, because there was a lot of protest around it, and there were times where that was really frustrating, because I knew that there were so many good people working on the show, and like, and it made me sad that they were under such a lot of intensity, and understandably. And I had to remind myself that something else that this show has inadvertently done is given these people a platform to protest. It's given them an arena for their voices to be heard. And so, you know, as frustrating as it can be to try to do something and watch it be unsuccessful, to know that their voices are then going to be heard in a different way than they would have been without it, has its own sense of value. And maybe that is a silver lining around what otherwise might have been a pretty dark cloud. It's really the only thing that I could hold on to at that time, because it really was. There were days where that was a very difficult building to be in. And it was also at times really scary, because there were also a lot of things that were coming to light that, like, I, you know, being in the ensemble, like, I was not privy to a lot of things that were happening, decisions that were made. And so I learned about a lot of things along with the rest of the world. And as like a front-facing member of the company on stage every night, I think it's expected that you are a part of all of that. And it's like, this kind of is over my head and over my pay grade. And I really don't know. Like, I know that the truth is in here somewhere, but I don't know enough. And I was so young. And it was just, it was all very overwhelming. But you know what? I do think that there are good things that came out of the show. I'm grateful for the experience that I had. I met some of the best people I've ever known, Veronica. And now I move forward knowing more than I did yesterday. And I can only speak for myself. I can't speak for the rest of the company, but I cherish the good times and I learn from the not so good times.
Yeah. Thank you so much for speaking about that. Yeah. You said it so eloquently, John.
Thanks.
How old were you at the time?
24. I think when it started, I think I was 24 when it started. I think I was 27 when it ended. And when we came back from the pandemic, I mean, that was like such a whirlwind, because we were in a very different space than we were from where we started. And it kind of like reopened and reclosed very quickly. So it was, very strange, very strange.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. Wow. Oh my God. Wait. So how old are you now?
Never ask a lady their age. I turn 30 in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Oh my God. We turned 30 in August. Yeah. So welcome to the 30 club. A lot of pressure is going to be taken off of you. Mm-hmm. Once you finally turn 30, you're like, oh, okay.
You know, I'm riding my youthful glow for as long as I can.
Oh my God. Yeah.
You totally look so young. Isn't Ryan in his early 30s too?
He's got a couple years on. Yeah. But not many.
So this will be a Broadway birthday then.
Yeah. Which is going to be wild. Yeah. Very happy to be there.
Will you have a show that night?
I think we do. Yeah.
Okay.
That is so exciting.
Yeah.
Well, before we say goodbye, we do like to end on a dose of drama, which is a little fun, you know, tidbit, something that you're, you know, reading, watching, thinking about, anything like that. I'm reading RuPaul's book right now. So that's been like my big thing, The House of Hidden Meaning. I've been reading that.
Fun as hell.
And yeah, it is very good.
So I went to go see Dune Part 2.
Oh, yes.
Incredible. I really think it was so well done. The production design, the sound design, the scope of the story that they're able to tell it is kind of a long movie, but it's so good. And Timothée Chalamet is a freaking movie star. He blew me away. I think it might be his best performance. He really delivered beyond. The whole cast was so good, honestly.
Call Me By Your Name is one of my favorite movies ever. So that's big talk for this to be his best. I'm like, okay, I'm sold. I'll go get a ticket for that.
See, Call Me By Your Name was my number one Timmy for a while. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love that movie. Wait, you should play that role in the musical version that I'm sure is coming at some point.
Oh my gosh, your lips to God's ears.
Actually, I think you'd be the Brokeback Mountain show that was in London last year. You'd be so great. Well, Lucas Hedges did it there, but if they bring it to the States, you'd be so good in that role. It was the
oh my gosh. Well, thank you for saying that. Oh my gosh, I would love to bite into that.
Oh my God.
You know, I feel like I play a lot of I mean, obviously I feel like most stories are skew into like the male female romance of it all, and I always find like the queer romance within it, where I'm like, I play these roles where it's like, he can't be with her, they're two different worlds, and I'm like, there's nothing more queer than that. I was like, that is the queer experience, is the world telling you that you can't be with someone. And so I'm like, this is just as much our story as it is anybody else's. But I would love to sink into an actually queer story somewhere in my career. I would like to do that.
No, yeah. Now that you mention it, you're right. You are like the male to female leading man star here. Yeah.
Which is amazing. I mean, I'm like, that is, I feel like that can be a really tough market to break into for queer men. And yeah. So I don't take for granted when people are willing to see me in those roles. And but I would really love to try my hand at tackling some queer stories.
I would love to see that too.
Was that like a fear you had when you were, you know, studying theater and stuff, that like you'd never get a chance to play straight, quote unquote, straight role, like lead romantic role?
Yeah. I mean, yes and no, because I think when you think of like musical theater, I think a lot of folks think of that as like a very queer dominated space, but it's really not as much as you would think. And so like, I knew that there would be a place for me somewhere in there. And honestly, when I was younger, like, I feel like just in very recent years, I kind of stepped into a more confident self. And I think back then I kind of thought that I was always going to be towards the back. And so like the fact that I would get to play a role at all was something that was like, exciting to me. And yeah, I think there might have been a time where I was nervous about like being pigeonholed and sort of like, you know, you can do this one thing, because, but I think that, you know, we get, I mean, I could give a whole dissertation on how I feel about queer and straight casting in cinema. I think there are pieces of it that work, there are parts of it that don't work. But now I'm just like, nah, I'm a person who lives and breathes, and I have these experiences. I fall in love, I fall out of love, I have been hurt, I've experienced tragedy. Like, these stories are, they can and should belong to all of us. So I am here to bring myself to whatever role I can. And if you see value in that, put me in your show and I will give you the best performance I can. And that is as much as I can do.
Absolutely. Wait, before we go, do you have a dose of drama for us today?
A dose of drama? Well, since you mentioned RuPaul's book,
yes,
I caught up on Drag Race last night.
Okay.
And it drives me crazy when there are episodes where no one goes
home. I know.
Sorry, spoiler alert. I'm like, you know, not because I want to see anyone's dreams dash, but because that's how the show works.
Right.
And I'm like, you know, I'm like, I want to see, let's get into it.
Give me some blood.
But it is, it's a great episode. And I kind of like, I knew it was coming when they were like going, when they were critiquing everyone. And I was like, nobody's really getting anything that's like particularly worse than anyone else. I was like, I feel like they're about to keep everyone around. And I don't know what the point of that was. But I was like, okay,
yeah.
I'll wait till...
Who do you have winning?
Who do I have winning? You know, it's kind of, it changed last night for me. Up until now, I have been a Nymphia Wind stan. I think that the looks are amazing. She seems to have it all. And she has this like air of confidence of like, even when I struggle, I know I'm going to pull through. And like,
yes,
she's so creative. But learning that she didn't write her own lyrics to that song and then seeing her struggle tonight here, I was like, are you just a little girl? I can't really tell. I'm not really sure. And as much as I hate to admit it, because in the beginning, I mean, Plain, as divisive as she is also from Boston.
Oh,
so
that's right.
Hometown girl. Mm-hmm. And she really is, you know, in more ways than one, stepping up to the plate. So yeah. Who knows? You could sneak a win.
I'm totally with you. I know. She's been really amazing.
Yeah.
They're giving her a really nice arc. I don't know if they're giving it to her or if she's giving it to herself, but yeah. she's winning me over. Uh-huh. She's winning me over.
We've never seen a villain win, so that could be really interesting.
Oh, I've seen discourse of people being like, either she planned this out herself to come in hot, change a little bit throughout, and then become this well-rounded, beautifully arced Drag Race contestant, or it's just working out for her really well. So... well,
so fun.
I also love Safira. I think she's great.
Yeah.
But...
ooh, amazing. Yeah, definitely. She's top three for sure.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Well, John, listen, thank you so much for joining us during this crazy busy season of your life. And everybody has got to see you in The Notebook. I mean, seriously, such a beautiful, beautiful performance. So congratulations.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. This is so fun.
Thank you. And where can everybody find you online?
I am only on Instagram. So you can find me on Instagram at John F. Cardoza, all one word.
Love it.
And while everyone's following John, they've got to follow us. We're at The Drama Podcast. Connor is at Connor McDowell. I am at Dylan McDowell. Thank you again, John, and congrats. I cannot wait to see the show.
Thank you so much. I can't wait for you to see it.
Yay. All right. And Connor, I will see you next time.
Drama.